This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Let me begin by wishing you a happy new year. So much has happened this past year, and we wouldn't have been able to share it with you if so many of you hadn't helped us through your prayer and financial support. And as you know, we don't talk a lot about our finances on this program, but this is the final weekend of the year, and we can really use your help. And because of a generous donor, your gift to FRC this weekend will be doubled. Just go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the matching grant. Your donation of $20 becomes $40, and that will help us continue to bring you the kind of content your family needs to stay informed on the issues of the day. So if you can, head on over to TonyPerkins.com and help us in our matching grant challenge. And this weekend, we're going to highlight some of the ways your financial contributions are utilized here at the Family Research Council. A little later on, we'll hear from Dr. Keenan Cureton, FRC's Vice President of Church Ministries, on the role of the pastor in the world of politics. Also, David Christensen, FRC's Vice President of Government Affairs, will join us to talk about how Family Research Council shapes policy on Capitol Hill. But first, Tony took some time this week to talk with former Representative Michelle Bachman of Minnesota, who is now on the Board of Directors for Family Research Council. Here's how Tony got that conversation started.
Michelle, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, what a privilege to be with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking a little time out of the holiday season to join us in talking in this special program kind of about FRC. And, of course, you and I have known each other for a long time, even before you came to Congress. You were a state senator in Minnesota leading the effort to defend marriage and the sanctity of life and all those things. So we made common cause way back then when it came to the issues that so many Christians care about. Share with our listeners a little bit about your involvement, why you got involved in public policy, why you ran for office, and what motivates Michelle Bachman.
Sure. Number one, my faith motivates me. I became a Christian when I was 16 years of age. But I was a foster mother. We had 5 biological children, but we were privileged to foster 23 great teenage girls. And during the course of that time, I saw a lot of nonsense that came home in their backpacks. Our biological children were either homeschooled or we sent them to Christian school, but the state of Minnesota only allowed public school for our foster children. So I was very concerned about what they were learning at school. And that is really, Tony, what got me involved in politics. I was very disturbed by things that our foster children were bringing home in the backpack. And I used Family Research Council as a vehicle for me as an at-home mother to be able to find out more information about public schools. And I needed a place to turn to for answers. And Family Research Council was that place to give me answers about America's public school system.
Now, Michelle, in case someone missed it, how many foster children did you have?
We had 23 great girls, and we had 5 biological children, not all at the same time.
Oh, I was going to say, you didn't live in a shoe, did you?
Yeah, I am the old woman. That's what I am. But it was so great, and we had about 4 foster children at any given time. The average length of stay was about 2 years. They'd come to our home when they were 16. They weren't going to go home again to their biological family, and so we made sure that the children graduated from high school. So that meant in our home, we had a census of about 9 kids at any given time. And that, as I said, is what got me into politics. I was because I knew that about 10% of America's kids are either homeschooled or they go to Christian school. But 90%+ of America's kids go to public school. So it's very important that we pay attention to what's going on in public schools, because that will define our culture. And I found the Family Research Council to be a wealth of knowledge to me when I was trying to find out what I could do as a mother to better my foster children's education.
Well, see, I'm always thrilled to hear your story because it just, I think it's a wonderful story, and it's one that shows how someone who is helping people out, you know, taking children into their home, taking care of them, just all of a sudden seeing what's happening out there and saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. And not just complaining right. about it, but doing something about it. You went all the way from being a foster mother to being a candidate for the president of the United States of America and a viable candidate for president. And you ran a great campaign. And that just shows, I think, should speak to so many mothers who are at home that you can make a difference. The key, as you pointed out, number one, equipping yourself with the right information, having the moral courage to speak up when these things are not right, and you can make a difference.
You really can, because never underestimate the power of telling the truth. It's something that this culture isn't always getting, as we know. And when you find out facts and truth about something that's going on, I, as a mother, found out and equipped myself about what was happening in our public schools. And I put together a two-hour presentation, and I traveled the state of Minnesota and shared with other parents what I had learned. And over the course of 5 years, Minnesota became the only state in the nation that actually threw off the federal government standards. We got rid of them. And in a very unlikely liberal state, but whether parents were Democrat, Independent, or Republican, or of no political party at all, they love their kids. And what they would say to me is, Michelle, not with my kids, they don't. And here's my pitchfork. Where do I sign up? So it's amazing what a mom can do when she can get educated and when she can share with others. And like you said, Tony, I went from being a foster mom at home to eventually running for the presidency of the United States. I mean, that isn't a career path I was planning on, but it was one that I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to follow.
And you've made a huge impact on this country. Michelle Bachmann, my guest on this special edition of Washington Watch. Michelle, I don't want to run out of time here, but I want to ask you, you went to Congress. What would you say was the biggest surprise that you found serving in the United States Congress?
The biggest surprise that I found is that the American people have implicit trust in their members of Congress. They truly believe that Congress will do the right thing for them. And I think that that is horrifying, because members of Congress are also people. And when they're there, they are also thinking about what's the best thing for themselves. In other words, what will keep them to be able to get elected. And so oftentimes, I hate to say this, but many times members of Congress did what was in the best interest of the lobbyists or the donor community rather than what was in the best interest of people back home. And that shocked me, that people would be willing to put their own personal interests in front of the interests of the country.
That is. And political preservation, personal preservation, trying to make sure that they come back seems to be a top priority for many. As you, I actually remember having these conversations with you when you felt the Lord leading you to step out of Congress. You could have easily ran for re-election, but you decided the Lord said it's time to move on. You weren't clear exactly what that was, and the Lord's still unfolding that plan. However, one of the things that you did do was join the board of the Family Research Council, and I'd like you to share with our listeners why, of all the organizations you could have served on the boards of, that you chose to serve with the Family Research Council.
Well, Tony, I chose the Family Research Council because it was an absolute honor and delight for me to be able to serve on it, because I have such history for so many decades with this organization. And I've seen it inside and out. It is first class. It is stellar. They do so much with so little. It is amazing. They do what other organizations take dollars to do, they do with pennies, and yet they yield results far beyond the amount of money that comes into the organization. From my perspective as a member of Congress, I saw Family Research Council, in my mind, have a greater and wider impact than almost any other organization on Capitol Hill for those who are concerned about the pro-family agenda. That is not to take a swipe at any other organization. Mm-hmm. I just know firsthand from my perspective, no organization covered a greater breadth of issues, but or more deeply or more effectively. They knew when it was time to get involved in a fight. Every organization has limited resources. You cannot take on every fight. But the Family Research Council got involved in the right fights. And for much of the time when I was in Congress, my party was not in the White House. It was the opposite party. Now my party is in the White House. I have seen the Family Research Council have effectiveness all the way to the Oval Office and into the Pentagon, in the Department of Defense, in many different departments, in the Health and Human Services. And I think it is really jaw-dropping when you think the level of impact that this organization is having, both in terms of communicating to believers all across this country about pro-family issues, but taking those concerns into the corridors of power, the real corridors of power, before the real decision makers and getting results. Without Family Research Council, quite frankly, I don't know that we would have seen the level of movement that we saw on dealing with advancing religious liberty, or with taking up the issue of transgenders in the military, or dealing with many other issues that that people may not even be aware of.
Well, we are grateful for you and so thankful, Michelle, that you have agreed to serve on our board. And I just want to take a moment just to wish you a happy new year, and I look forward to seeing you and working with you in the year ahead.
Oh, me too. Many great things will happen because of Family Research Council this year. Thanks for your leadership, Tony.
If you want to find out more about the many areas of policy that Family Research Council is involved in, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of our matching grant campaign by going to TonyPerkins.com and giving a tax-deductible donation. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at FRC's involvement with pastors.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Every year, Family Research Council engages with thousands of pastors around the country through our network of Watchmen pastors. And the person that heads that area up is FRC's Vice President of Church Ministries, Dr. Keenan Curtin. He joined Tony earlier this week to talk about the important role that Watchmen pastors fill. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Keenan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you.
Well, it's been an encouraging year when we've seen the effect of pastors and churches over the last 18 months of engaging in our culture and in the process. Before we get too far down into that, though, I want to just ask you to give our listeners a definition of what is a watchman pastor?
Well, Tony, we get that right out of the scriptures. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7 is our baseline verse that talks about the watchman on the walls. And essentially what we want pastors to do is to watch what's going on in the culture, pray for the wisdom to engage the culture biblically, winsomely, courageously, sound the alarm from the pulpit at the threats that they see on the horizon, which are multitude right now, and to lock arms with fellow pastors. So essentially we ask them to do three things that start with P. pastors are, you know, kind of, they like alliterated sermons a lot of times with their sermon points, or at least I do. And so we ask them to pray and lead their church to become a house of prayer. And we also ask them to preach, preach to the whole counsel of God, including what it says about government, public policy, and how it relates to, you know, the culture that we live in. And then finally, the third P, pray, preach, and then partner, and that is to find some like-minded pastors in that community, lock arms together, pray together, and seek salt and light solutions to the problems that they see in their community, in their state, and then, of course, all across the nation. So praying, preaching, and partnering, that's what a pastor that we call a watchman pastor does.
So then, Dr. Cureton, how does a pastor, maybe there's some pastors out there.
Praying, preaching, and partnering, that's what a pastor that we call a watchman pastor does.
So then, Dr. Cureton, how does a pastor, maybe there's some pastors out there listening and say, you know what, that sounds pretty interesting. How do they become a part of this network?
Well, that's easy. They just go to the watchmanpastors.org website and click on About Us. They can see a brief video that you did introducing the ministry to pastors, and then there's a little a brief letter there from you, a note from you, and then right below that, they can click on that link and can sign up to become a watchman pastor who's praying, preaching, and partnering with other pastors. So they can go to the website and do that, or they can come to one of the events that we do across the country. And of course, the flagship event that we do is every May this next year, 2018. It'll be our 15th annual Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing there in D.C., May the 23rd through the 25th, and it's going to be a tremendous event. So they can come to an event or they can go online, either way.
Well, Dr. Cureton, before we run out of time, I want to ask you this question because I know it may be on the mind of some pastors who are out there, at least some parishioners who might want to approach their pastor and say, well, you know what? I like what you're doing, but, you know, politics, I'm not into politics, and I don't think that belongs in the church.
Right. Well, you know, when you look at that video that I mentioned, I would just challenge the pastor to go watch your video because you answered that question because, you know, in the Bible we see all these examples of men of God who confronted the political leaders and the government in their day. You got Moses in front of Pharaoh pleading for the liberty of God's people. You've got Elijah confronting King Ahab for his idolatry and promoting of immorality in Israel. And on we can go as far as biblical examples. You've got examples in American history as well. But, you know, for the contemporary pastor, maybe that's not convincing to him. But great survey from George Barna. Tells us that 90% of these Bible-believing pastors agree that the Bible speaks to these burning moral issues that are being debated in the public arena. The problem is only 10% are addressing those. And yet another Barna survey that came out shows us that most of their members want to hear about these moral issues that are being debated in the public arena. 91% want to hear about abortion and life issues, 86% on religious liberty, 83% on cultural restoration.
We help bridge that divide between the pulpit and the pews. Keenan, got to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a happy new year.
You can learn more about Watchmen on the Wall and Dr. Keenan Cureton when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, you can support our outreach to pastors through our year-end matching donation campaign. Your contribution will be matched dollar for dollar this weekend. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'll be back with a look at FRC's legislative outreach right after this break.
What is the purpose of the military? To fight and win wars. The Obama administration abandoned this basic, common sense principle and instead reversed long-standing policies that did not allow those who identify as transgender to serve. However, the Trump administration intervened to stop this radical social experimentation and announced that it will restore the former common sense rule. A key voice in raising this issue in Congress is Representative Vicky Hartzler. her proposed amendment to stop taxpayer money from being used to pay for gender reassignment surgery or hormone treatments for service members was narrowly defeated, but it helped focus attention on this issue. Although there is a current reprieve, the fight is still ongoing. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch Congresswoman Hartzler share congressional insight on this issue and give an update on where the fight for our military currently stands. Once again, that is frc.org/speakers. Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Every day here at Family Research Council, we have folks talking to members of Congress trying to make sure that the voice of Christian conservatives is heard and that legislation reflects the values of you, our listeners. And the person that heads up FRC's government affairs area is David Christensen. He joined Tony earlier this week to discuss FRC's legislative efforts. Here's Tony Perkins.
David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be back.
David, just to start with, before we get into some specifics of what we've seen accomplished in this past year, some of the high notes, give our listeners a little sense of what government affairs, what your team does here.
Well, we work with a lot of friendly legislators, congressmen, senators. We attend a lot of meetings. We're sending a lot of research information to them. We help draft legislation. We provide expertise to them on the issues that we care about. And so a lot of times it's sometimes like intelligence work. You hear from one quarter, you give information to another.
Well, oftentimes we bridge between the two chambers.
That's correct.
Because they don't always talk to each other, and we shuttle information back and forth.
I was at a meeting where a Senate staffer gave an overview of the Senate tax reform bill, didn't know what was in the House bill that had passed. The House staffer didn't know what was in the Senate bill, and we provided a handout that compared both. So yeah, those are the kinds of things that we do too.
And historically, looking back, as I said, over almost 35 years that FRC has been here, some of these coalitions that you talked about, some of these meetings like the Values Action Team, mm-hmm. that now is a fixture in Congress, was an idea that originated with FRC and FRC helped launch years ago.
Yeah, the Values Action Team, long led by retired Congressman Pitts, is now taken over in the House by Representative Vicky Hartzler and Senator Roy Blunt in the Senate. There's co-chairs. Really ups the issues of values and gives a platform where members are being educated directly on the issues of life, religious liberty, family values. And then they have direct conduits to member-level conversations, leadership, and frankly, even the president. And that's obviously extremely important.
I want to get to probably what you'd say the top three victories for 2017 were. But before I do that, you just came out of Christmas in one of my favorite movies we watch every year. It's A Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart. The storyline's great. And so along those lines, I want to ask the question, you know, would all of these things that we see from a pro-family, pro-life perspective, would those things happen if you didn't have FRC and organizations like that here in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think the answer is clearly no. Two things. One is I think we elevate important issues. I know people want to see bills signed into a law and achievements, and sometimes it may be only the House that passes something and not the Senate. But elevating it to the level where it actually becomes routine, passing the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act early this last year was standard. It took three Congresses to get that to become.
And it has to have a driver.
It has to have a driver.
And oftentimes those drivers, although we have champions on the inside,
yes,
it takes a driver, someone who is doing the research, doing the messaging, and even pushing leadership. Oftentimes we have more influence with the leadership than some of the members?
Sometimes a member of Congress will call and say, hey, we need you to reach out to leadership. And, you know, we've developed those relationships. You certainly have. And knowing when we are going to score a vote favorably or against a vote, that is important to a lot of members and a lot of senators. And so,
and of course, it's important because listeners and our supporters across the country respond to that. They use our scorecards mm-hmm. when it comes to election time, but they also respond by making the phone calls. All right, before we run out of time, boy, yes. that time goes quick. Top three legislative victories for 2017.
Number one, passage of the a resolution blocking Obama's regulation that prevented states from defunding Planned Parenthood. The House passed that with our support. The Senate actually got it through with 51 votes. President Trump signed it into law. Now states can defund Planned Parenthood without the threat of the federal government stamping on them. That's a clear victory. That's going to save lives. We are working on religious liberty issues regarding the Johnson Amendment, elevating that to the highest levels to allow pastors and nonprofits to speak on political issues. I think that's extremely important. And I would say some of the regulation rollbacks, HHS contraceptive mandate exemption is something that we pushed really hard on the White House and HHS on. People are now going to be protected like the Little Sisters and the Hobby Lobbies of this world.
A lot of that just undoing the bad stuff mm-hmm. that was done under the Obama administration. So yet to come is actually putting in place a lot of the good stuff that needs to be done. That's coming up in 2018 and beyond. So folks need you to stay involved and engaged. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to find out more about what we do here at Family Research Council, just head on over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to tonyperkins.com and participating in the matching donation campaign. A generous donor to Family Research Council is matching your donation this weekend only, dollar for dollar. Won't you help us reach our goal? Thank you in advance for your generous support. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Happy New Year, everyone.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.